This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, push that button.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
So, it was funny. Yesterday, we played, what did we do? Maybe 10-ish minutes? Maybe a little bit more of the rally for
roughly
the president?
Seven.
Was it? Okay.
Seven, 12.
I mean, why not just say 10?
Because that's not accurate.
And well, you just went from 7 to 12, and I said 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to be a liar? Is that what you want to
be? Well, there's a lot of difference between 7 minutes and 12 minutes, and I said 10. So I'm almost smack dab in the middle of 7 to 12.
Where did we get 12?
You said 12. You just
said... No, I said 7 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh,
that's what I was saying.
Whatever.
Roughly.
Okay, we played 7 minutes and 12 seconds of the rally yesterday.
Roughly.
Yes, I know. I'm not... But again, roughly, and then you add the 12 seconds, doesn't really make any sense. You could have said roughly 7 minutes.
No, because that's not. That's
no, but it's not roughly 12. 12 means you're being very specific. You don't have to say roughly.
I'm just trying to be factual.
No, but you're not. But you're not even being factual
more
or
factual
accurate.
Than
you're
you.
Giving us a guess.
Gosh, go on with the story. Stop wasting people's time. Gosh.
The president yesterday spoke at a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire. CNN wasn't covering it. MSNBC wasn't covering it. So we decided to play roughly 7 minutes and 12 seconds of the rally. And we had gone into a break, and we had looked up at the TV of the speech, and I had noticed that there was some kind of issue going on. And I assumed that it was, you know, a troublemaker standing up and trying to heckle the president. And I remember turning to you, I was like, what's going on? What's going on? What's happening? And it turns out that someone had, in fact, tried to heckle the president and disrupt the speech. What we didn't realize at the time was what the president said in return. And it's awful, but awful funny.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home, start exercising.
That's funny. And it's ironic because, let's be fair, the president is not particularly the cover of Men's Fitness magazine fit. It turns out... He mistook a supporter for the actual person who was heckling. The heckler was skinny. The supporter who actually tore down the sign that the heckler had put up, he was the one that got called fat by the president. Now, I suppose if you're someone who's a fan of someone, right? You're a fan of the president, then he calls you a fatty McFatface, you might get upset, right? You might at least lose a little bit of your enthusiasm. You might be like, yeah, you know, it kind of sucks to be called fat. I know I got a couple pounds to lose, but you know what? I'm a supporter of the president. You didn't need to say that. Like, that would be a reasonable response, right? I don't expect that all of a sudden he's going to say, oh, well, you know what? I never really liked those policies of the president's. No, you say, okay, I still like the policies, but I would prefer not to be called fat. Well, Fatty McFatface, his name is actually Frank Dawson, and he spoke with Fox News. And he had this to say.
He was talking to you.
He was, because he didn't see me rip the signs away from those three people that were sitting there us. And they were trying to cause a ruckus. And they jumped up and they start yelling something. I don't even care what they were yelling, but it wasn't going to happen beside me because I'm trying to listen to my president. But I think he thought I was part of it, but I wasn't. I was the good part of it.
What did he say to you?
He said, hey, that guy needs to lose a little weight. Everything's good. I love the guy. He's the best thing that ever happened in this country.
Okay, that seems like an awesome person.
Low self-esteem person.
No, he's how he knows he's got some weight to lose.
Yeah, I'm a little.
Oh, he thought
side.
I was the wrong pot of the protester, but actually I was the fat guy that he was calling out. Like, good for him.
Call me fat again, Mr. President.
No, that's good. I'm just saying, good for him. It didn't need to be taken all that seriously. Now, on Twitter last night, this was trending, and man, they were trying really hard to make this into a controversy, as was CNN at the time. Like, oh my, I can't believe the president did this. Oh, and look how dumb he is for calling one of his own supporters fat. It shows you, the way they're still talking about the president, how they just do not know how to cover him. They do not understand that at his core, he is an entertainer. He knows how to work a crowd. Now, you may not think that the way he works a crowd is presidential, and I think that that is a totally fair criticism, because frankly, it's not. We've never seen presidential candidates or presidents act like this in front of a crowd, right? The last entertainer we had as president was Reagan. This is not his style, right? This was not Reagan's style. This is Donald Trump's style. Now, I totally get not liking it, But you have to understand that this is what's expected at these rallies. And every single time you clutch your pearls about comments that he makes like this that are clearly joke, a mean-spirited joke, but not towards the guy who actually was the victim, quote-unquote, of the joke. He seems to be having fun. You have to change the way you talk about him. If not, you literally seem like the crazy person who's like, oh, think about the children. You can't do that. It doesn't work.
President Trump calling me fat is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Best thing ever. He's the best president, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Okay, him well, he's me from fat. New Hampshire, not Alabama, which was weirdly what accent you were just doing. But how much do you want to bet? You know how after the president came out and there was like an app for MAGA supporters, it was like a MAGA dating app? There's going to be a fat MAGA dating app now. Like plump MAGA supporters.
Huh.
PlumpMAGA.com.
Is that your first idea?
Put that trademark there before someone steals it. Just, it's $11.99 on GoDaddy. Just do it real
quick. That's the one you want to trademark. Why don't we think about it a little longer?
No, the more we think, the faster someone else is going to act and going to get the URL. Oh, it's already taken. Get .net. I know no one goes to .net, but just do it. Meanwhile, I can't quite say I understand exactly what Elizabeth Warren is doing. She came out with a very detailed, stupidly detailed proposal, specifically for Native Americans and tribal rights, okay? There's a lot of virtue signaling in all of this. It is double the length of any other proposal that she has put out, and it's completely unnecessary given all that this does is remind us that she pretended to be Native American. Anytime she goes anywhere near these topics, she is reminding us of the huge scam that she pulled. She's bringing out the Pocahontas thing again, and I can't quite understand it. New York Times' Michael Shear tells CNN that maybe it's a good idea, specifically the policy, but no, don't. Why?
It does make me wonder whether when you're on that kind of trend and you're having the kind of success that you're having, whether it makes, I mean, you know, the issues of Native Americans in the country are, I'm sure, very important, but I don't know that the Democratic Party and the Democratic primary folks are clamoring for a massive policy position
They're
on
not.
It, and she could well have decided this is why poke the bear, right? Like why put this so out front?
He's so right. Have you heard anyone even on the left clamoring for this kind of proposal? No. So it's not like she was put in a position where she has to talk about it. She has to talk about certain issues, right? She has to talk about immigration. She has to talk about gun control. She has to talk about healthcare. She doesn't have to talk about this. And there's no data to his point to suggest that while talking about this is particularly important because of the native populations in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, that really are going to give one particular candidate an edge over the other. And when you're this close, it matters. That's not what this does. All she's decided to do is act like she's guilty, right? This screams of white guilt. I'm sorry for pretending to be one of you. Here is a policy proposal that is deeply, 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 deeply filled with I'm sorrys and virtue signaling. All it does is remind people why she is a joke. All that does is remind people. And folks on the left call her out for this just as much as folks on the right. They just do it in a slightly different way. You are reminding people that you are Pocahontas. Now, it's funny because as they were talking about this on CNN, who was the anchor? John King, right? It was John King. And he goes, you know, Pocahontas, obviously a deeply insensitive and insulting term. No, it's not. Who's it insulting beyond? Like, it's not offensive. It's not offensive. It would be offensive if you were using that term to belittle someone who's actually Native American, right? Then it would be offensive. It's not offensive. He's using it against someone who is pretending to be Native American, who used it for personal gain and then lied about, oh, the Boston Globe did this big expose, showed us no personal gain. That's not what the Boston Globe actually did.
Not only is she not Native American, she's the least most Native American
of anyone. Any person who spits in one of these tubes and has their DNA sampled, right, and tested, is more Native American than her. She's negative Native American. It was the first time they actually found that kind of result. Ancestry.com was all like, we can't find anybody else. What was it, 23andMe? What did she use? It's so rich. She used a private one, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. They could use her to white balance a camera. That's all I know.
Okay, because she's very white.
She's very fair.
No, I got that. I mean, I was basically making that point, and then you decided to try to sneak in and a joke, which just, I mean, this, it's not the Tom Amato show.
I kind of did the first joke about being the least Native American person out of any.
No, I mean, but I had said that in the past. That was just literally going back to a joke
you
that I had
it
made
in the past. Doesn't mean I can't say
no,
it.
No, no, I know, but I mean,
it's
theft.
You didn't invent
it's
that.
It's joke theft.
You didn't invent anything.
It's still joke theft.
You weren't
theft.
The first person to say anything.
No, I agree with that. It's still joke theft.
No, it's not.
1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JasonRants. Go there now, twitter.com/JasonRants. You can join the conversation about all the topics that we're discussing, including the sick burn by President Trump on Twitter just a moment ago. If you missed it, just check out my Twitter feed. Twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie Edition.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:15 on a Friday afternoon. And that always, of course, belongs to producer Tom, who is on the quest, thanks to our wonderful friend in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, inspiring us, telling us not to eat so many burgers, weirdly had the direct opposite effect. And now we're trying to find the best burger in Seattle. And I feel like this is a review that could potentially tear this entire station apart.
Maybe we shouldn't be eating a hamburger for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
After 2 weeks away, we're back with another burger review. Hi, Tom here. And this week, I went to the legendary Dick's Drive-In in the Queen Anne neighborhood. Now, they have five locations, those five locations being Wallingford, Capitol Hill, Queen Anne, Crown Hill, and Lake City. But here's the question. Is Dick's as legendary as it once was? And are people going there based on reputation, or are they going there because of the quality of burger? Here's another 60-second burger review. By the length of the lines at 11:10 a.m. on a Thursday, the answer to my question posed is yes, it is still legendary. As one typically does, I ordered the deluxe. It comes with two 1/8 pound grilled patties equaling a quarter pound with melted American cheese, lettuce, mayo, and pickle relish. It's served in a locally made brioche style bun. I did order two burgers because I was hungry and size really isn't one of their strengths. Now at Dick's, you know what you're getting. You know you're getting okay meat. You know you're getting some good add-ons, and you know you're getting it for cheap. I mean, one deluxe is $3.65. You're not going to find a much better deal out there among the fast food chains. And they've been pumping out these burgers since 1953. It's an on-the-go style burger. It's typically hearty enough to last you a few hours and won't make you feel full and gross should you order just one. The mayo and pickle relish team up for a nice, borderline tangy flavor. The patties are thin, but do have a little more juice than I've experienced with some other fast food burgers. Still, you know, you're not going to Dick's for the quality of meat. The bun does its job in holding everything together. The fries are going to cost you an extra $2.05, and they're the soggy, sweet potato kind of like fries. They're salted well, but yeah, they can wear on you. And of course, you know, you're at Dick's, you might want to order a milkshake with that. Dick's Drive-In is a Seattle classic and will remain so until the city goes full vegan. It's a great way to spend a quick lunch, and I would recommend it to any out-of-towner. I'll give the deluxe from Dick's Drive-In a 7.5 out of 10. What do you think of Dick's Drive-In? Which location are you going to? Tweet me, at Tom M. Amato. This has been another 60-second burger review brought to you by the Jason Rantz Show.
There you go, producer Tom. I feel like, you know, Saul Spady in the morning, who is the grandson of Dick Spady from Dick's Drive-In, did you, like, approach him beforehand to tell him you were going to do this just so, you know, things would be on the up and up? Are you sure you didn't give him any extra points or maybe take away some points because of your personal relationship with Saul?
Absolutely not. In fact, that's a pretty good score. I would imagine he'd be satisfied.
No, I know, but I'm wondering if maybe, you know, you went after the fries in a way that didn't seem all that necessary. I'm wondering if you did that because you didn't want people to think you were giving Dick's Burger special treatment. It screamed out at me. And then for some reason you decided to pick an Owl City song to go with your review, which,
because they're from Seattle.
They wrote a song about Seattle. I mean, there are lots of actual bands that people have heard of.
People are tired of Nirvana.
Well, Heart. There's lots of other things you could have done. You went with Owl City, which, again, weak sauce. But still, this was on the up and up. Yes?
Right.
Up and up. Okay. What are we doing next week?
Okay, so next week, in fact, if you go to the AM770 KTTH Twitter page, whose handle...
You don't know our own handle, do you? It's 770 KTTH on Twitter.
At 770 KTTH on Twitter, you will see a bracket. And there, we are going to have listeners, people on Twitter, the public, vote in which burger is the best in Seattle. Obviously, I'll have my own answer, but we got to know your guys's opinion on what the best burger is. So on Monday, we'll have the wild card round, and you can see the bracket again at what is it?
Text the keyword tweet to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link directly to the KTTH 770 tweet so you can get and download this particular bracket.
Yes.
Just text the keyword tweet to 1-800-465-8770. I committed every day next week to this?
No, it's just it's going to be on Twitter mainly.
Okay, we don't have to talk about it?
No, I mean, not really.
Okay, because I already know the winner.
On Friday, I will let people know the best burger in Seattle with the real answer.
There you go. If you actually want to participate in this bracket for the best burger in this region, text the keyword tweet to 1-800-465-8770 and I'll send you a link so you can download the bracket and fill it out on your own and let us know exactly how you think it should go on Friday of next week. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
Washington Supreme Court has unanimously today rejected three challenges brought against the state's three strikes law, which pushes an automatic life sentence without any parole when someone's convicted of a third time for a serious crime. We're talking about crime sprees, child molestation, robbery, rape, felony crime, serious assault, manslaughter, murder, of course. So if you're in that position, you automatically get life without parole. Three strikes and you're out. Now, this new challenge, because this has been challenged in the past, the new challenge was based on the idea that should you be counting a strike against someone who is basically a young adult at the time, like a 19-year-old? Should they commit one, you know, act that counts towards these strikes and then two as an adult? Should we really count that as three, or do they have to start when they're outside of the teenage years? And the Supreme Court said, yeah, we're not doing that. So turns out, yes, you do have to have that strike against you if you commit a serious felony crime at 19, which should really serve as a disincentive for you committing serious crimes at any age. Now, at the same time that this is happening, a three-strike felon is on the loose thanks to Governor Jay Inslee. Let's all thank Jay Inslee, who on the debate stage last time around, that debate stage that he was lucky to be on, he bragged about criminal justice in the state of Washington. Only now we know that Tracy Hoggett was given a lifetime prison sentence, no parole, after his third felony in 1995. But he was given a shortened sentence, a commuted sentence, by Jay Inslee. Here's David Rose from Q13.
The Clemency Board and Governor Inslee approved his release. And said, okay, we believe that you have turned a new leaf, you found God, and you've even made a statement that you're not going to be a harm to the community. We're going to let you go.
You know what he did before? Three convictions. Robbery in the second degree, assault in the second degree, theft in the second degree. But thank you so much, Governor Jay Inslee, for allowing this guy to go free from jail when he probably should not have. The guy was released in Yakima on Friday. He was required to check into a transition house in Kelso. He chose not to show up. Caro 7 TV reports a warrant is now out for his arrest. Here again is David Rose talking with our sister station, Caro Radio, on the Dory Monson Show.
He claimed that he was going to have his fiance come pick him up and drive him down to Calhoun County. That was 2 days ago. Nobody's heard from the guy. So we don't know where he is. We don't know what he's up to. We don't know what he's doing.
Can I go out on a limb and suggest that maybe he's doing something he shouldn't have? And maybe when we have these types of laws in place, we should not let them go out a little bit free because they're a little bit earlier than they should in this case at all, because he decided to come out and say, I believe in God now. You know what the thing is? Sometimes people pretend to be interested in religion as a means to con people like Jay Inslee into thinking that they are reformed folks who should be given a fourth chance. This isn't a second chance, right? Or third chance. This would be a fourth chance. Jay Inslee is so utterly incompetent when it comes to topics having to do with criminal justice. He is an embarrassment. He leads with social justice ideology and never actually has any substance to any of the claims that he makes. But we do have a lot of victims when he decides to do that. Whether we're talking about this case where you let go someone who is going to be put in jail for the rest of their life, or in the case of sanctuary state laws in which illegal immigrants who are committing crimes not being fully punished or deported because Jay Inslee doesn't want that to happen because social justice, hashtag. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller, Smiles by Design. The concept is very simple. The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle. They end up ignoring you and the communities you live in. So we do the opposite. We focus on you and your communities, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we start this afternoon out in Everett, where 40 ACT exams were taken by local students. They were stolen or lost. We're not entirely sure yet. They were taken, these tests, on June 8th. At Everett's Mariner High School. And kids, they got up early after studying for months and months and months. They worked their hardest, presumably, and they were relieved when they were done. Finally. Now, of course, you have to wait to get the results back, as it's very important in deciding where it is you can actually get into college. So the test coordinator, after the test was done, packaged the tests up, gave it to FedEx. They got the tracking number. Unfortunately, they were never delivered. They have no idea where they went. We don't know if they were stolen. We don't know if they were lost in transit. We just know they didn't actually arrive. So FedEx is investigating and trying to figure it out. While the 40 students, I'm told they're getting a refund and have been registered for the next test date at no cost. That sucks. That sucks. Now, I'm assuming the good kids of the victim here, it probably not going to lie and be like, oh, I'm certain I aced it, got the 100%. I don't know how they grade ACTs anymore. I got all the points. I would have been perfect. And now because she did this, I'm going to have to retake it and I might not do as good. And I'm certain I got, but they've got some truth to that. I don't know how you can prove that they didn't get a better score than they otherwise might get on this follow-up test. They're in a bad position. I think we should give them at least a 10% bump.
A student like me who didn't study a lick for the ACT would probably say something like that.
Yeah, but you have to assume that there are kids who do take this incredibly seriously, right? That there are certainly kids who are studying their tails off for the ACT or the SAT. But yeah, we call them nerds and we pick on them, but they're the ones who later grow up to become wealthy people who aren't, you know, struggling to get by. They're still nerdy and weird looking as adults, but they've got money and that makes up for a lot of what they're lacking.
Money doesn't equal happiness, Jason.
Oh, yes, it does. There are a lot of very, very, very happy rich people and a very, very large group of unhappy poor people. But still, pushing that aside, I have to assume that at least a good portion of the 40 studied their tails off. And now they're going to have to do the test again. And that's just not right. That's not fair. And so I do think you need to give them a little bit more, just as a little bit of a bump, not just paying for it, not just offering it for free, to make up for the test being lost. It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
Yeah, we should give them free tickets to the fair.
That's like a $7 ticket. I'm just saying give them an extra 20 points. Small. Whatever the amount of points you get for spelling your name right, give them that. I think that's the fair thing to do. Because there's going to be an extra amount of pressure now on you for having to take the test again.
Yeah, you know, maybe like a 2-for-1 deal at Levi's or something.
No, I'm not saying give them a coupon. Oh. I'm saying give them some points to their end goal, which is to get into a good college.
Okay.
This kind of sucks for them. One of the upset parents told the Everett Herald that it's like being back at ground zero. That's the least of our worries, Brad Greenfield, a parent, told the newspaper. These are tied to monetary awards, college scholarships, and things like that. It kind of puts kids under the gun to have really kind of a one shot at it, which is what we were hoping to avoid. So I feel bad. Meanwhile, a 14-year-old boy from Shelton got to apparently live his dream of being a firefighter a few days ago. He's always wanted to be a firefighter, I guess. he wasn't always in a position to be heroic. In fact, he was kind of having a rough go.
About a year ago, I snapped because I was getting bullied quite a bit. And I just started getting in trouble with the law a little bit. And I just didn't want to do all that bad stuff anymore because it didn't get me anywhere.
Oh, that's a good kid. Kid's name is Connor Harris. He tells Cairo 7 TV that he saw a brush fire near a home on 3rd Street and he acted.
It could have spread to the house and got the house on fire.
Yeah, that's how it works. Firefighters tell Cairo 7 TV that Connor first used his backpack to beat the flames and then was all like, oh, there's a garden hose over there. Maybe I should use that, because that's what firefighters do.
When you go and do something nice for a change, it changes a lot and it makes you want to do more of that. More of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff.
So the firefighters are celebrating this kid, saying he did a really good job holding down the fire until they were able to arrive. They say that he probably saved a house from going up. A bird's nest caused a transformer to explode, causing the brush fire. Or this kid who has a troubled past, maybe he started it and this is a scam.
Man.
I'm kidding. He's a good kid. You can kind of tell. Isn't it weird that sometimes when you hear some of these kids talk, you're like, okay, you're a bad kid. Or in this case, you're a good kid. He's 14 years old. Did you talk like that at a 14-year-old, realizing that you were going down the wrong path and all of a sudden it's like, it didn't make me feel good. And now I'm on a better path and it makes me feel good. You could just tell it's legitimate.
Sure, he wasn't talking about his path home. He was accidentally taking the wrong path home and there's a fire. Normally I take the other path.
What
here's
are you?
Fire.
Yeah,
I'm
but
gonna
still,
beat
he
it
put
with my backpack.
He helped put the fire out, and also he hated the backpack, and he wanted a reason to get a new one. And so he said, "Well, who cares if this backpack gets a little bit burnt? This is good for me because then I can get the new one." And I don't know what 14-year-old kids get on their backpacks. Do they go with a normal backpack or a Pikachu nonsense?
Yeah, and I'm 100% sure his homework was in that backpack, and it's now conveniently lost. Convenient. I'm with you. He seems shady.
Oh, stop! No, he's a good kid. Three generations of family members came together yesterday to help their 103-year-old grandma break a world record. And this is the most ridiculous and completely useless world record. Oldest tandem skydiver. Why is that meaningful? Why are we judging tandem?
So
you're not doing anything. There's someone else who's controlling everything. You're literally just attached to someone who's throwing you out of an airplane.
And there's an older person who's gone solo, is I think what they're saying.
No,
she is the oldest tandem. That means two people.
Thank you.
They
I know that.
Just flat out say she's the oldest skydiver. They said oldest tandem. That means someone older went solo.
Yes, I know. I'm saying, why is the tandem? Why are we? They're saying there was another tandem skydiver who was 100 years old. That was the previous record. Okay, they're just judging people who are tandem. I don't think we should be judging that at all. Throw that out completely of the world record book. I'm okay with the solo diver, right? Because that's a little bit more dangerous. There's some risk there, especially if you're that age. Because I'm assuming there's the potential for, you know, a heart attack in the air if you're that old already. That this is obviously incredibly stressful. You're attached to somebody else.
Well, I think
what
the people
doing
solo are, you know, veterans at skydiving. This elderly woman is.
So we're giving her an award for being old and doing something that required little skill.
But a lot of fear. I mean, you're falling toward the earth. I mean, so she's
less fear,
obviously
less
not,
fear.
She's an amateur skydiver. There's people, the solo people do this all the time, right? That's their thing.
I know how
you're giving the award for someone who just decides to go out of their comfort zone.
No, I got it. You're
as a tandem skydiver.
No, I got it. Her name is Catherine Hodges, 103 years old. She joined two of her sons and one granddaughter in a skydive at Harvey Field in Snohomish County. She told, according to Q13, she told folks, "It was kind of overwhelming. I didn't know what to say. I was so nervous. I didn't really want to do it, but my family insisted, and they kind of forced me to." Now, I made that last part up. Okay, good for her, I guess. They say the previous record was made by a 100-year-old jumper, and that record will hold for a bit, just until Guinness finishes verifying everything about this jump later this year. What would they now verify if they were not there to find out that it happened? It already happened. How much more? What would they verify? Are they going to look at video? What if it's all a scam?
Yeah, weird. This was your story, right? You threw this in the rundown?
Yeah, I found it.
Where's the woman from?
They just say she's based out of Snohomish County. They don't say where. Why?
Actually,
you know her?
I see Seattle woman breaks record for world's oldest tandem skydiver.
She's not Seattle.
That's what it says in the title.
No, it doesn't. It happened in Snohomish County. It literally happened at Harvey Field.
Okay.
Harvey Field is not in Seattle. Harvey Field is in Snohomish County.
But the woman is a Seattle woman.
The story took place in Snohomish County, and I don't know if she's a Seattle woman. Let's do one more quick story, since now you're making me doubt that story. Let's go to Bellevue. Is that cool?
That's fine.
It's an apartment complex that's actually in Bellevue that apparently has a bat problem, or does it? I'm actually a little bit confused by this. Apparently a woman, her name is Kara Lachinian. She tells Kara 7 TV that she's had problems of bats getting into her home and getting into the walls for months, and that she asked the management of this apartment complex to fix the problem, but
they determined that there are no bats in all of these five units in this entire building.
So they looked and they said, there are no bats here, but, you know, just to play it safe, because maybe a bat got in and then it got out, crews used a scope to look in just to make sure. Then they sealed up the gaps so the bats couldn't slip through to get inside the walls. But now she thinks that there are bats inside the walls and they just sealed them in.
The problem is that it does keep them in, because during this season, they're still here. They have not gone off for the winter.
Okay, but they're all like, we looked and we didn't see any. What did you want us to do exactly? Gary Horker from Cairo 7 TV has a little bit more.
But that crew not only sealed up gaps bats could slip through inside, they also sealed openings all over the outside where bats can get out. Kara and her neighbors say they can still hear the bats moving in the walls at night.
You're convinced there's still bats, maybe even pups in the walls here?
Oh, I'm absolutely convinced.
A state wildlife biologist
sure?
who looked at the building told me sealing up spaces bats use to get in and out is called exclusion. Experts say it's a bad idea. Pups and adult bats can die within the walls, creating a new set of problems with rotting and odor.
I don't know who to believe. The crazy bat lady? Or the crazy people who say there's no bats. One of them is crazy.
Yeah. And
she says she's hearing bats. Maybe they're not bats.
Maybe they're in her head.
No, but maybe there's something in the walls, but it's just not a bat. And you're telling the management to look for bats, and maybe they didn't see any, so they didn't think to look for something else. Maybe it's a little rat.
Maybe she's just insane.
I mean, that's also possible, because I've been convinced that there are bugs in my room. Every once in a while, I'll see a story about how, in a given year, Seven spiders get swallowed by people who are sleeping and they don't realize the spider going into their mouth. And then I convince myself that my room is filled with spiders and then I get itchy.
And you are insane.
Yes, I'm 100%. People say insane as a negative. I say it as just you've got character, you've got personality.
Yeah.
1-800-465-8770. Send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. You are listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Joe Walsh used to be a congressman. He's not anymore. I think actually he hosts a radio show now, I believe in Colorado. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times this week basically saying, okay, someone needs to primary Donald Trump. He needs to have a challenger. And it was weird because everyone was looking at this and saying, well, that's Joe, you were a big supporter of President Trump. And he addresses that in basically a form of an apology on CNN.
One of the reasons I wrote this op-ed was to apologize. To apologize for the role that I played, in putting an unfit con man in the White House. Look, the country was divided.
Did he say con man? Is that what you heard? Con man?
In the White House. Look, the country in putting an unfit con man in the White House.
Just real quick, and I'll let him finish, but just because he used the term con man, so it's kind of an opening for me to do this. Joe Walsh is arguably best known for being labeled as one of the most corrupt congressmen in power at the time. It was labeled that by the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. The organization goes by CREW. Now, to be fair, CREW is clearly left-leaning, but let's also be clear. They go after Democrats. They went after then-Senator Roland Burris of Illinois. They went after then-Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. They called those two incredibly corrupt. They also said that of Joe Walsh. And specifically, they said Joe Walsh lied about his income so he wouldn't have to pay child support to his ex-wife. The report pointed to court documents that they uncovered that showed he owed something like $100,000 in child support, but he claimed he couldn't afford it. And then directly after claiming he couldn't afford it, he then loaned his campaign $35,000. Although, maybe that's why he couldn't afford it. So this is a guy who's been accused himself of basically conning people.
Look, the country was divided before Trump. That's why we got Trump. I was at the head of that divide, talking about and pushing ideas I believed in. As you said, I've been very outspoken. Oftentimes I stepped over the line. That was one of them. Oh. The election of Trump has made me see how ugly our side, both sides can get, but how ugly I've been. And it's caused me to reflect and no longer engage in personal attacks and just focus on the policy differences.
No, I hope that's what he continues to do. I hope he sticks with that. But let's be clear, this screams of him trying to redefine his brand so he can get more hits on CNN. And if that's what he wants to do, you know, I'm not going to get in the way of someone who wants to promote and push forward a career that maybe is not going the way he wants it to. But this just seems incredibly transparent to me. Now, maybe I'm judging him unfairly because of what's been going on with Anthony Scaramucci, who for, I believe, 17 and a half seconds served as the communications director. No, sorry, I was wrong. What is 19 seconds? He served as communications director for the Trump White House, and he was this huge supporter of President Trump until he tried to get another job within the Trump White House, apparently. They said no, and all of a sudden he's going on TV and saying how evil and stupid and crazy the president is. In fact, he was just on Blaze TV with Eric Bolling and said that everyone in the White House, oh, they hate Donald Trump.
No, I'm done with the guy because it's a sign that he's completely crazy, okay? He's alienated every single person in the White House. He doesn't talk to anybody in the White House. Uh-huh. People are afraid of him. The Secretary of State is thinking about running for the Senate. I mean, there's not one senator that wouldn't accept an appointment for Secretary of State from a normal president. But everybody's running. The entire party is scared of him, at least the people that are elected officials. They don't like him, Eric. You're smart enough to know that.
So why did you like him for so long? This clearly didn't just happen over the course of the last week. You were this big supporter of Donald Trump, but now you're not. He screams of a dude who feels scorned. And who do I hate, producer Tom, more than anyone in the world in TV?
Stephanie Ruhle.
She is the absolute worst, and yet she even called him out.
Using your Twitter feed to call out your fellow citizens on Twitter.
But Anthony, couldn't be more honest. The only thing different today is that he's going after you on Twitter. He started running for president calling Mexicans rapists and drug dealers and criminals.
That's not true.
And he was crushing other people running for president on the debate stage. So what is different today?
Okay. Nothing is different today except he didn't get a job that the president says he was after. He has decided to change his tune because he wonders whether or not this president is going to win re-election. And that's a fair question to ask, whether or not he thinks the president is going to win re-election. The difference is he's now assuming that that's not going to happen. So he's trying to ingratiate himself with the media members out there who hate the president. He tried to get, at least for the next 2 years, a gig with the Trump White House. He wasn't able to do it. So now he's turning on the president. It seems so obvious to me. It seems so completely obvious. And so maybe I'm using my distaste for the mooch and his particular style here for what Joe Walsh is doing. But it just seems so coincidental that it just so happens that other people who are Republicans who turned against the president are getting a lot of airtime on CNN and MSNBC. And all of a sudden, hey, Anthony Scaramucci's been on every single TV show on the cable networks for the last week. It's the Jason Rance Show.